Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
Well, hello, and what a pleasure to be with you again. Here we are, another week, another topic or topics that we think will be of interest to you as we bring you some of the answers that may make a difference in your home, your family, and your finances. That's the whole purpose of the show, is to make you an informed consumer. And we ask the question all the time, are you financially fit? And most of us, when we answer that question, have to admit that we're not. Well, we're doing everything we can to make to change that, and we hope that you will listen to the subjects and to the topics that we have, and perhaps it'll make a positive difference for you. My first guest today will be Gary Carmel. He is the author of the book, The Philosophical Investor, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth. What the hell does that mean, Gary? Well, he will tell us, because we're really talking about one of the things that affect us all in our decision-making about whether we're going to be homeowners or we're going to be renters. Now, with my generation, the goal was to have a home, to buy a home, to have that note and to pay off that home in 30 years with a white picket fence around it and all that other stuff and raise the kids. Well, today's generation seems to be thinking something quite different. When we talk about the millennials and we talk about Generation X, they don't seem to be so interested in buying houses. As a matter of fact, the business of rentals seems to be moving up in the list of important things in their financial world. We'll talk to Gary about if that is so and why it is so and what it means for our economy. And then following that, we're going to talk about being safe in your home or not. Unfortunately, many of us don't feel like we're safe in our homes, especially with the news that people are getting killed in their houses or on the streets or whatever. What can we do about it, and how much does it cost? We have the foremost expert on private safety, personal safety, home safety. Alvy Corby is a man among men when it comes to developing safe havens for all of us. The question is, can you afford it? Is it worth the money? And are there ways that you can be safe without breaking your particular bank? So that's where we're going today. I want to talk a little bit about what happened this past Monday, which was Memorial Day, and I had the pleasure of emceeing, co-hosting, if you will, the parade down Constitution Avenue in the memory of our vet. 70 years ago is the anniversary of World War II, the famous day when the president announced that the war was over. And it was just a magnificent event. And if you go to Reels, R-E-E-L-Z-TV, especially if you have, I know on DirecTV, it's channel 238, they are replaying the parade every so often. So if you wonder what I look like, you can see me on this program. And it's called the Veterans Center Memorial Day Parade. And we're very pleased to participate. And we remind you, above all else, to remember. Let's never forget what these men and women gave, the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Okay. All right. Enough of that personalizing here, I guess, promoting myself. Let's get to Gary Carmel. Let me tell you just a little bit about Gary. He's the president of CWS Capital Partners. It's a real estate investment management firm based in California and Texas. He founded it back in 1969. He specializes in the acquisition, development, and management of apartment communities throughout the United States, where his company owns and operates more than 20,000 units worth of value of over $3 billion. What does he think about this change in attitude, if in fact there is a change in attitude? His new book is called The Philosophical Investor, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth, and it came into publication in March of this year. He is passionate about helping individuals become wealthy, and that, if for no other reason, makes him my friend. Gary, welcome to Home and Family Finance. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
You heard my intro here in terms of millennials and Generation X. Is there a different mindset in terms of these kids now about whether they're going to own a home or whether they're going to rent?
I really do think that is the case, and I think to some degree appropriately so. I was reflecting a bit when you were talking about the Memorial Day parade and the audience is, you know, very much military-oriented, as you've told me before. And if you think about after World War II and the GI Bill and the servicemen coming back from war and the incentives to put down your roots in suburban America was being created, and people were in their jobs for many, many years, and they had reliable pensions, and the U.S. was the dominant economic power without much global competition. There was this tremendous sense of stability and security, and that was completely ripe for home ownership. Today, so many of those things are just not in place. There's a lot more, you know, call it insecurity or instability, and the need to be flexible and mobile and really invest in yourself and go to where the opportunities are. And I think that with those circumstances, renting just makes much more sense because you just don't know how long you're going to be in a place and how long you're going to be working for a company. And when you think about what's happening with kind of the reurbanization of many areas of America and people congregating together, that tends to lend itself to, renting in those locations as well. I do think it makes a lot of sense.
It must have a tremendous impact then on the economy and how we invest and how we should be thinking about investing, Gary.
No, it really does. If you think about kind of how overowned we were leading up to the subprime debacle and the culture of home ownership, and it really became problematic. People were tied to these assets with very little equity in them and very high transaction costs. So if something went wrong, they lost a job or a health issue, a divorce, a movement, they really couldn't get out of these assets and have any equity. And so we are changing quite a bit. I mean, if you think of just, you know, the energy consumption of apartments versus households and the lack of, yard maintenance and the lower living space and, the types of amenities that are being created in urban areas, it really is a pretty significant shift. And, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, let's talk about that, because that means I've got to rethink my attitude about where I'm going to invest my money and how I get to that retirement number that I need to make sure that my money does last as long as my life. We're talking with Gary Cormell. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back with more.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And we're asking the question, are we becoming a nation of renters as opposed to a nation of homeowners? And Gary Cormell seems to think there is that shift. His new book, The Philosophical Investor, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth. Explain to me what you mean by that title, Gary.
Well, I guess it's somewhat of a justification for my liberal arts degree in a in a finance world, which is, you know, pretty predominantly focused on left brain analytical thinking. And one of the people I tap into in the book is Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's partner, quite a brilliant investor and thinker. And he said, you know, to the man with a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. So it's important to have a lot of tools in your toolbox so you can approach challenges and opportunities creatively. And so I have found that tapping into some of the great thinkers in history, including some investors like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, along with a Shakespeare, a Schopenhauer, and even a Bob Dylan,
wow,
has helped me learn much more about human nature and some of the challenges that we have as being fallible human beings subjected to waves of fear and greed that often can lead us to make investment decisions that often don't work out for us because we get caught up in, you know, what other people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so tapping into philosophy and great thinkers and learning from my experience has helped me really try to navigate these turbulent waters of economic cycles and investing over the years.
So in just plain common sense, then, the investor today has to kind of break away from the conventional thinking and understand what the trends are. And once you get that, then you are able to make wise decisions about how to invest.
Right. George Soros said, who's a great investor, he said, investors have to discount the obvious and bet on the unexpected, because what's obvious is already reflected in prices. And, you know, it's a little different in real estate because that's a longer term asset and it's not as freely traded. But, right, I use the analogy of from the book The Odyssey, Odysseus tying himself to the mast so he's not seduced by the sounds of the sirens, because he knows what his limitations are and his weaknesses are. And that's really important as investors, is to try to project where things might be in 18 or 24 months versus getting caught up where everything is today.
Interesting. And do you think, what drives our young people to that? Is it because they feel insecure, given the amount of things that are happening in their world, that they break away from the traditional thinking and say, okay, maybe I should just look ahead, you know, 2 or 3 years?
Well, I do think it's I think it's human nature to kind of get caught up with what the crowd is thinking oftentimes, and it's even more challenging with social media and instantaneous 24/7 information coming at us. But, you know, I think that the younger people today are really looking at, you know, being in vibrant areas, making the most of their education and the people they can connect with. They see what's happening in the technology world and sort of some of the perceived instant millionaires. And there's this perception that I think for some people that, yeah, I'm going to kind of I want to be where the action is, mm-hmm. You know, in a San Francisco, in a Los Angeles, a New York, a Dallas, a Chicago. And I from there, if I'm in the right circumstances, meeting the right people, the right opportunities may come about, and I may be able to kind of change my financial outcome.
My guest is talking about, you know, the trends and how they change. When we come back, we'll ask him to tell you specifically what you should be looking for. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you so much. Our Home and Family Finance sponsors are the Credit Union National Association and the Defense Credit Union Council. They do such a great job in supporting us because they too want you to become educated consumers. You know, the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves and their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Now, check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. And go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And I don't care whether you're in the military or not, all of us should be saving something, and I hope that you are. Save a little bit every day, and you'll be surprised at what it will amount to in a short time. And you'll be very thankful. You'll thank me. You'll thank yourself for being smart enough to save. We're talking with a gentleman who is looking at our economy and seeing changes. And some of you may not see the changes, but you feel them, and as a result, you're making changes in where you're looking to invest in the future. Gary, tell us some of the major economic and demographic trends impacting the U.S. economy now.
Well, there are some pretty powerful trends. We've been talking about home ownership versus renting, and one of the things we're seeing for us is there's the delayed marriages. People are starting families later. Young people are burdened by student loans, and the mortgage market is, you know, much tighter than it was in the go-go days. So all of that to us speaks to continued emphasis more on renting versus home ownership, particularly among the millennials. And then I would just say we have aging demographics in the developing or developed world. which I think is going to probably slow economic growth or keep it slower than it otherwise would be. So I think that's a big global phenomenon as well.
And your book kind of delves into all of that. Tell me the name of the book and where I can get it, please.
Sure. It's called The Philosophical Investor, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth. It's available on Amazon. It's in many Barnes & Nobles around the country and independent bookstores. And then if you want to get more information about some of the things I talk about, I have a blog called GaryCarmel.com, GaryCarmel.com. And then our company website for, you know, more information about real estate and things like that is CWSCapital.com. So kind of the presence in many different facets out there.
You know, the other thing that I think is important to remember is that today we live in such fast communication. These young people, and some of us not so young, hear about everything almost before it happens. And what I mean by that, I'm aware of what's happening in Syria and in Iraq. I'm aware of what happens in Crimea with Russia. I see the world doing things that all over the place, and none of it gives me a sense of security. What role does that play in terms of what I'm thinking about in terms of investing, Gary?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It does feel like the world is more insecure, and maybe that's because of the access to information we have. But, yeah, I think it just kind of feeds that theme of insecurity. And, will something happen from a terrorist perspective? Will there be, you know, more of a security apparatus in the U.S.? You know, how long will I be at this job for? Will my company get hacked? Will that lead to a financial problem, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I think that we have to deal with it. We're bombarded with that information almost every day, and I think that may be why some young folks are saying, you know, I'm not willing to put down my roots because I'm not sure how long this is going to be like it is, and things are going to change. And thus, we make the move, I think, from being away from home ownership into being more of a renter's nation. I guess in a way, you feel like there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we survive as a country either way, right?
Oh, sure. Right. I think home ownership is wonderful for the right set of circumstances. It's excellent. But I think renting provides flexibility and housing options and location choices, which I think is wonderful. So I think we just got out of balance, and I think we're getting more in balance, and I think that's a healthy thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. It's great. It's still the greatest country in the world, and your book is a good book. Gary Carmel, author of the new book, The Philosophical Investor, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth. And that's what we're all about, folks, helping you become solid investors and financially secure. Gary, thanks for being with us. Come back and talk to us again soon, would you please?
I would love to, Paul. Thank you so much.
You bet. Absolutely. Coming up next, he knows what you should know about being secure. Al Corby joins us to talk about being safe.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
My question, how safe do you feel? How safe do you feel at work? How safe do you feel at home, in your apartment, in your house, when you travel? If I say the term ISIS, you know what that is. You hear the news of people being killed in their homes. We see the riots in Baltimore. Folks nationwide are trying to determine the best way not to feel insecure, but rather to feel secure. There are ways that you can be safe. But the question is, how much should you pay for being safe? And do you need to pay anything? And if you have an idea, is that the right idea? Should you have a gun in your house? You get the sense of what I'm talking about, folks. To talk about this more and to give us really the professional end of this, we've invited one of the he's the architects of security in the world of security and safe. No one has a better record and more respect than Al V. Corby. He's president and founder of SAFE, S-A-F-E. His primary role is to carry out SAFE's mission to protect his clients from any and all possible threats, from a simple break-in to a nuclear disaster. He creatively plans for each client's potential risk factors, and you'll find out how to reach out to him. Most of us can't afford Al, simply put, because the cost of security sometimes can be outrageous. But as I think he will tell you, and he's here in studio, you don't have to pay a lot of money to be safe. Al, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you on the show.
Nice to be here, Paul.
I think something all of us want to do is to make sure that we've done the right thing in terms of our security. But we're not sure what that right thing is. So how do I decide what's right? How do I decide how to be secured, how to feel safe in my life?
Well, it's interesting. You started off by mentioning how expensive security can be. And indeed, it can. It can be very expensive. But I always use the analogy of a car. You know, there are $2 million cars.
Yeah.
And there are really nice cars, and someday I'd like to own one of those things. But it's funny, you know, that $15,000 or whatever Hyundai, it has four tires, two doors, and it gets you where you want to go, and it starts up every time, sometimes more than the $2 million car, quite frankly. So safety is scalable. It is completely scalable. You can spend a great amount of money, but you can get really good security for a very reasonable amount of money. The problem is you just have to know what to do. And the thing that horrifies me and has for 42 years is that we've got this burglar alarm and the police will be there in time mentality here in the United States. So the very simple, effective answers, we don't have. We're going on a very false impression.
That's quite a statement. So what we think and what we've been taught to believe is a signal or a sign of safety is really not that at all.
Well, think about it. A burglar alarm. We all have burglar alarms. The burglar alarm tells you you're already in trouble. It says, you know, it's like it's too late. They're in your house. Well, we all think burglar alarms keep us safe. Burglar alarms are, in my humble opinion,
sure,
you know, a complete waste of time and money from a security standpoint. They're very good from a notification standpoint, but I don't want to notify my family that they're about to be murdered or raped or robbed. I want my family not to be murdered or raped or robbed.
Sure.
Same thing with the police department.
So what's the alternative, Al? All I know is that if you see the signs, you go down any residential street and you're going to see this sign and that sign, a lot of different companies. So we believe that. What's the alternative?
Well, it's interesting. The sign is way more effective than the system. So if you have signs up and somebody was going to pay attention to the sign, and if you're on a limited budget, go buy a sign. Not the system. Get the biggest sign you can find with a picture of a gun on it, maybe, you know, a mad dog, and that will probably work more than be more effective than the system itself.
All right, but you mentioned guns, but I'm going to put the biggest gun I can find and maybe a couple of them, teach my family how to use them, teach my wife or my husband or children, and now I feel safe. Should I?
Well, there's two ways to look at guns. I'm against guns. I think nobody should have guns except me and my family. It's about winning, quite frankly. I don't want to make light of it, but life is a game. And in the end, it's about winning. It's not about being conservative, liberal. It's not about having a gun or not having a gun. It's not about any of that. You know, 42 years now, not one of our clients has ever been harmed. Well, that's because they have the right answers. And if for your family, the right answer is a gun, because A, you really, really know how to use it. B, you've really, really kept it protected, so it's not going to be used incorrectly in an inappropriate situation. Well, then all of a sudden a gun is a wonderful solution. But for the majority of people, a gun is a terrible solution. Just like, you know, I don't think everybody should have driver's licenses. You know, if you know how to drive, then you should have them. Getting back to just me and my family,
right?
But everything in life should come with training. It should come with common sense. It could come with an appropriate situation. That's security. There is a security package for every family out there that would meet their budget and would work. They just have to know what that is.
And how do they get to know what that is? Is it your company or companies like yours? And I don't see a lot of companies out there like Safe. Maybe there are more than I know, but all I ever hear about is called called a burglar alarm company. I don't hear about an option to that. What are the options?
Well, unfortunately, there are no other companies like Safe. Or I should say, fortunately for Safe. So, you know, we're honored to be able to do, you know, the top estates around the world for that reason. But the philosophy behind Safe is scalable. And if you use the notion of the philosophy behind Safe, you can scale it down to people like me, you know, the regular working man. Yeah. Where you need to be safe, you and your family, and you need to be able to afford it.
All right, let's talk about scalabilities and how we do that and where do we begin in that. We're talking with Al Corby, president and founder of SAFE Safe, Strategically Armored and Fortified Environments. We're also going to talk about another thing, Al. He's an author. He's writing books. He's an interesting character, as you can hear, and we'll find out more from him when we come back.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Al V. Corby. He is president and founder of SAFE. He merges his unique and innovative techniques into each security solution and is widely recognized by the media on five continents for his distinctively effective methods. He is the father of advanced hardening techniques, safe cores, and the half-hour principle. All of these things are things that he knows and has created, but he also, as you heard him say, suggests that you don't have to pay millions of dollars for your safety. It is scalable, and when you say that, Al, I don't have a mansion, I don't have a house on the hill, I got an apartment or I got a small house. How do I afford you? How are you? Would you come help me?
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, you know what? We can talk in abstracts forever, but let's bring this down to something that everyone can relate to.
Okay.
Short time ago, there was a lovely family here locally that was murdered. Okay. I have no doubt they had an advanced surveillance system. I have no doubt they had a very good burglar alarm system, and we know the city they were in probably has more police forces than any city in the world.
That's right. Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Okay. So you take all that and you go – you either throw your hands up in the air and go, you know, what the – because then none of us are safe. Or you say, wait a minute. If this guy really has been doing this for 42 years and has never had a client harm, maybe – okay. Now let's play a game for a second. Let's backtrack just one day before all that happened. Safe went into his facility and we set it up in such a way that he didn't even have control over that facility. So when someone broke in or someone held them hostage, instead of that pizza boy being able to come and drop the pizza off on the porch and go away and nobody knew what happened, what if that house automatically sent out notifications? What if it lit up and turned into a used car lot? And what if those kinds of things happened? It's almost – remember that movie Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin?
Yes.
You know how it was a comedy?
Yeah.
Well, imagine something like that seriously though. Seriously. A, that family would be safe right now. Now, could they have been roughed up a little in the moments that the culprits,
yeah,
you know, it started happening. They say, turn it off and do this. You know, yeah, maybe just a little. But I guarantee you today that family would be alive. The person that broke in would either be caught or on the run and everybody would know who they are. So that's a real world situation in which I can say 100% that for less money than he spent on his burglar alarm and his surveillance system, he and his family would be alive.
Wow. So you're saying that there is a system could be put in place that would cost less than what he was paying for whatever system he had.
And think about it. He's paying every month to maintain those systems.
Yeah, yeah.
This system's put in place one time cost, and it's over. You own it.
Wow. How can you say that this would work? I mean, you're that certain that had he had that system in place, he'd be alive today?
Absolutely. I can say it because for 42 years, that's never happened to any of our clients.
So what are we talking about in terms of that system? How much would he have had to pay for your services if he'd put a system like you're talking about into his very huge house.
Well, we go back to the car analogy.
You know,
a security system can cost $5,000. It can easily cost $5 million. So it's all about the head of the household, the mom or the dad, sitting down, thinking it through. But if they have the right answers, if they have the right philosophy, I guarantee you everybody can think it through and work it out. It's just that our mindset, unfortunately, here in this country, particularly this country, mm-hmm. is burglar alarms, no guns, and the police will be there in time. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the police force. And I think, again, you know, they should be camped out on my front door.
I agree
with
you.
24/7.
But it's just not going to happen that way.
There aren't enough of the gentlemen and ladies. They're spread so thin across the country, the police forces, that they are there to come after the fact and take a report and try catch the bad guys. It doesn't help you when you're already dead.
So how do I – what do I have to do to get ahead of this game, to get the system that you want? Do I call you and say or – and as you said, you're just one of a very few companies that operate the way you operate.
Exactly.
So what's the hope? I mean, there's just – we just have to – we can't feel safe. We don't have the ability because you can't do 200 million people out there.
Well, it's interesting you say that. You can either be very, very wealthy and call us up. Mm-hmm. And we will come out and we will absolutely protect you and your family. Or you can be a little more proactive and you can get your community together and you can call us up and we'll come in and talk to your community and we'll
explain
probably
what they need to do.
Yeah, reach out and touch hundreds or even thousands of you. Mm-hmm. And for that, a lot of times, depending upon the situation, it doesn't cost you anything. But once you have the answers, there's this – oh, my gosh, or that aha moment when you go, boy, that's so simple. Why isn't everybody doing that?
Yeah.
Well, I often say E equals MC squared is very simple if somebody gives you the formula.
That's exactly
but
right.
If you're sitting there trying to figure it out ahead of time, it's a little tougher.
So you can sit down and talk to a family, the head of a household, couple, whatever, and tell them things that would make a difference, that would create the kind of safety sense, if you will, and indeed true safety that they want. Is that?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, homes are inherently safe places. Unfortunately, the way we live in our home and the things we haven't done to it makes the home actually work against us, like the family again in D.C. Mm-hmm. When someone breaks in, the house actually gives coverage to the crime that's going on. Couple little things you can do. You can flip that script to where the house actually helps you.
All right. When we come back, will you give us some clues to that?
I'll see where we
maybe.
Go.
Maybe. Yeah. You're You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Bear. My guest is Al Corby, a noted security man around the world. When we come back, we'll see how much he is willing to give us. Stay with us. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Thank you so much for joining us. My guest is Al Corby from the company Safe, Strategically Armored and Fortified Environments. And as you heard him say it, it can be either millions of dollars or it can be an affordable expense to you. And that's where I want to get to now. You've talked about, I guess I'm asking you, give up some of your trade secrets here, if that's what it is. But how can I be safe in my house and not have to pay tons of money and not have a gun?
First, you have to understand the dynamics of a crime. When someone comes to your home, they've got two things to their advantage. Element of surprise, and they think they're prepared. You, as a homeowner, don't know they're coming, and you're obviously not prepared. Okay? So what you want to do is think how you can flip that script. When they show up, the first thing you want to do is mess with them. So you want this element of surprise wiped out right away. You do that early on, and a crime probably won't be committed. I don't know about this area anymore, but out in California, you run a red light, and that flash goes off, and they take the picture. I don't care if you're a lineman, You know, you can be the most macho sports figure in the world. When that flash goes off, you just grab that steering wheel. You go, ah! And you know,
right,
some expletive,
right,
you know,
right?
Okay. Imagine if the house was set up that way. So the moment somebody steps onto your property, there's a boom, there's a flash. You know, that's got to cost you, what, a whole $50? I guarantee you, whoever it is going to go, ah, you know, they caught me.
Yeah.
Right? So something's going to happen. Now, I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
But that's a very inexpensive way to really get somebody thinking. Okay. Now I go up and I'm going to break a window. There's a product called ShatterGuard. The company's out of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Let me make a disclaimer. I don't own stock in the company.
Nothing,
right?
Okay.
But for a couple $100, you can put this stuff on your glass. You hit it with a hammer or a bat. It bounces off the glass and hits you back in the head. Now, that's got to really mess with somebody because they thought they were going to break this window. Well, for almost, I don't want to say no money, but you probably haven't spent $500 yet, and you've just made your property really unfriendly to somebody coming by.
And that's the key here is to surprise the person that's going to surprise you or wants to.
And think about it. The minute you've done that, all kinds of dynamics are going on through their head. You know, do I really want to be here or do I want to just go down the street and break into Willie's house?
It makes perfect sense. You're right. If you can – that does. It makes such perfect sense, and you're not spending billions of dollars.
No.
And there are other small things like that, little things, but important things that you can do.
Hundreds of things.
Why don't we think about it that way? We just don't think like that.
Thank goodness. I got to put my kids through college.
Yeah. Do you find today that more and more people are beginning to think this way or – are being educated this way through by you and others?
No, that's the problem. They're not. Mm-hmm. You know, I think more and more the global situation – I mean, we see it here in this country, but let me tell you, it's global. The whole thing about instant media, instant news, instant everything. So we're really becoming more and more scaredy cats, and we're worried about the problem rather than solving the problem. And the answers are there, and they're simple.
You know, if people – are interested in contacting you, may they do that? And do you have a way that they can reach out to you and get more information?
That's an interesting question because typically we are very available to a certain clientele. But
we're talking about folks that can afford the dollars that makes it worth your time. Not that you don't care about others, but what you're saying is this is a pretty intense business, isn't it?
It is, and it's a business in which we take very seriously, and we have to win for our clients every single time. So for the right climate, you know, let's go back to the car analogy again. Anybody can walk into a Bugatti showroom, and they can look around and really enjoy it, really enjoy it. But it was set up for a certain clientele to actually buy the cars. Now, having said that, SAFE does reach out to communities, and we will speak to communities oftentimes on our own dime just to be able to tell people how to protect themselves.
How do they reach out to you to do that?
They reach out to Lana Corby, and she'll set it up for them. And the best way is lcorbi@safe-us.com.
Okay, folks. You've listened to an expert. You've listened to a person that you certainly probably will never be able to afford and probably never able to reach. But here he's come to you, thanks to Home and Family Finance, to give you some sense of how you can make yourself feel safe and be safe. And that's important. Al, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure.
I know what a special... this is how special it is to have you on the program. We appreciate you being with us. And we always appreciate you listening. I hope you will continue to do so. Our job is to make your life much easier and much more financially literate. See us next week.